And good morning and welcome to a Red River Radio Spotlight. I'm Bill Beckett, the program director for Red River Radio. And opening up this Thursday at the Marjorie Lyons Playhouse is William Inge's Pulitzer Prize-winning dramatic play, Picnic. And joining me this morning are Kip Holloway, who is directing this production, and also Chelsea Hockaday and Andrew Wood, who play the roles of Madge and Hal in this play. And I want to thank all of you for joining me this morning.
No problem.
Thank you.
So let's start with talking about what is Inge telling us in this play.
I think mostly the show is about love and friendship and family relationships. And it's, of course, William Inge is a very powerful writer. Original Broadway production was directed by Josh Logan from Texarkana in Shreveport. And it was interesting putting it together. We literally started out taking the blocking from their script. It's an amazingly tight script. It does run three acts, but combined running time is still an hour and a half. It's like three 30-minute segments. And when you're working on the show, you can see how they wrote certain occurrences in so that it would set up what was going to happen next, because they had to get somebody off stage or get somebody on stage, and so they would write something to make that happen. It's a very interesting script.
And this play, it takes place in a very small space, which is the backyard of a couple of homes, and you've actually done a complete set design to, you know, some sets are very minimal. There are a few sticks of wood here or there, and they're suggestive, but this is a fairly full-blown set that you've created, and this is done with the students at Centenary.
Yes.
Well, it's two houses. One of them is a two-story, and then there's another one that's a one-story, and there's a path that leads in between. Behind the houses, you can see a fence and a full-size telephone pole with cable strung across the catwalks. And we've painted the stage floor to give it more of a dirty suburban look. And there's we have an actual tree stump and about 15-20 bags of dirt that we pushed around the stage.
You get to blow any of that on the audience?
No, not this time.
It's just really to develop a real sense of the environment so that the audience feels like they really are in the small town and they can relate.
So tell us a little bit, you're playing Hal and you're playing Madge, who are sort of the lead protagonist in the story. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us all about your characters and then the other characters that folks are going to meet who come out to see this play?
Sure. Hal's in his early 20s, and he's a bit of a drifter. He's never in one place for too long. He seems to have traveled all over the country doing very exotic and interesting things to make ends meet. And winds up in this small town hoping to somewhat settle down. He has a friend from college who lives here, lives in the town. And he's kind of childlike in a way. He's still very excited by things that he sees in the world. And he's grew up having kind of a difficult life. He had a rough childhood. He spent time in a reform school. Father died from complications of alcoholism. Mother abandoned him. And he does his best to try and ignore those aspects of his life, and he doesn't talk about them much and just kind of keeps looking forward.
So. Okay. And Madge is pretty much your typical ingenue, at least from first glance, and you kind of dive into realize, I mean, she's very pretty, and all her life she's been grown and accustomed to people calling her pretty, and I guess it becomes very stale after a while, and she wants to be more than that. She wants to be loved for who she is, for something deeper than aesthetics, and she's, you know, she's seeking, she wants to get out of the town. She wants to be someplace where she's accepted and people like her for her. And then she meets Hal and sees that he might be able to be that hope, not just a ticket to get out of there, but also just someone that may actually love her for who she is rather than her pretty locks.
And the other characters that revolve around these two and that sort of center up the play?
Well, you have Madge's family, really. Her mother, and who's very protective and has been through kind of the same thing that Madge is about to go through with the husband leaving her and cheating on her. And then you have her little sister, who's not necessarily the pretty one, but she's extremely talented. And it's kind of, you see both sides of the coin. You see the pretty one and you see the other pretty one that's just kind of shadowed by the bigger sister. And then you have the neighbor, Mrs. Potts, who's just kind of the fun, loving, yeah. really has been through a lot in her time. She's older than both the mother and, of course, the daughters.
Yeah, she's the one who takes in Hal, and he starts doing mm-hmm. some work for her, and that's how he winds up meeting Madge. And then the other, I guess, most
important. Well, it was actually at her suggestion.
That's right, yes, yeah. I guess it's the other most important character is Alan Seymour, who's...
actually Madge's boyfriend.
Madge's boyfriend and a former fraternity brother of Hal's when they were in college, mm-hmm. and they were close friends.
And he's your typical perfect guy for yeah. a perfect girl.
You know, he's nice, he's charming, his family has money. He's the kind of guy that I think every parent wants their daughter to marry.
Mm-hmm. But not necessarily the kind of man that every daughter wants to
marry. Exactly. And not, especially really not when they're 18 and rebellious.
The other characters that are terribly important are the older couple that's going through the same thing, mm-hmm. Rosemary and Howard. And their relationship is driven all by different, they're not romantics. They're not falling madly in love. They're trying to find each other to make life easier for the two of them. And it's a very interesting mix that inches through in there, so that you're seeing this might be what they go through 20 years down the road. It's really a brilliant script, though.
And a lot of this seems to revolve around the psychological dynamics of what we want in life versus what other people want for us,
exactly.
versus what we
yeah.
know is good for us and will work, versus what really excites us. And those seem to be constantly at tension in this play.
Definitely.
Yes. I think it's also a play somewhat about perception, and how other people view us can sort of define how we live up until a point that can fed us up, because yeah. Madge is always told that she's the pretty one and she's meant for this and she's meant for that, and she's like, well, what if I don't want to be pretty, what if I don't want to be this girl? And mm-hmm. Hal grew up being lauded for being an athlete and for being something of a ladies man, and he starts to think, well, that's not all I am, and what if that's not all I want to be, you know?
What else can you tell us about this production that's going to draw people?
It's been a really long time since anybody in town has done a set comparable to this set. It's reasonably realistic with a level of detail that isn't normally accomplished. And it was interesting when we were working on the show, we brought the model out and kept it on the stage so that we could refer back to it, because the set was designed by Joe Meltzinger, who is was a very, very famous designer, and it influences so much of your blocking and so much of mm-hmm. You're really pretty limited in what you can do. Your space ends up relatively small, but I think that was all to our advantage.
I think it helps psychologically, because you know, you feel a lot of these characters feel trapped mm-hmm. in this world, and you know, you feel kind of closed in.
Yeah, you're a little claustrophobic.
Yeah.
A little claustrophobic there. All right. Any last thoughts you want to share for the audience?
I think probably it's a comfortable show. It debuted in 1953 on Broadway, and we've used some of the music to help us set what's happening at that time, you know, things like C.C. Rider.
Right.
We don't ever leave, we don't really leave the play when we have intermissions. You go outside, but it's still going on. There's mm-hmm. things, the stage is still there, and we don't do blackouts or things of that nature to kind of help the audience stay with it. And we hope that works.
Yeah. I think it's a great play. The subject matter is related. What I like is that the subject matter is relatable to almost everyone, that right. I can invite both my grandmother and my friends to come mm-hmm. see this, and they'll find something that they'll appreciate within it.
And this is your final production, is it not?
It is,
You're getting ready to graduate.
I am.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, Kip, Chelsea, Andrew, I want to thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
And that was Kip Holloway, Chelsea Hockaday, and Andrew Wood. They'll be appearing in William Inge's Pulitzer Prize-winning dramatic play Picnic that opens tonight at 8 p.m. at the Marjorie Lyons Playhouse at Centenary College. The play is only running this weekend with shows on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night at 8 p.m. and a matinee at 2 p.m. on Sunday. You can find details at the Centenary College website or at 318-869-5242. This has been a Red River Radio Spotlight, and for Red River Radio, I'm Bill Beckett.